First Peter chapter 4. I apologize for no slideshows today. We're just going to run old school. Hopefully you got your Bible with you. First Peter chapter 4 verse 7 is going to be our text. And I'm just going to preach the only thing I could possibly preach right now, and that's what the Lord's been dealing with me on. And what the Lord's been preaching to me for the last several months. And just looking at the situation going on in this world and crazy things that we've never seen the likes of in our life. And just continuing to pray about that stuff. So I believe that this is the message that the Lord has for us. And we've gotten two good messages from Pastor Joey here as of late on prayer, and this is going to be along the same lines, amen? And very thankful for those messages, so try to pick up on what I think the Lord's trying to deal with us as a church on. And so, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of your word, Lord, and help me, Lord, to put the burden of my heart and what you've been preaching to me out. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage, Lord God, and that you'd zealously affect us as a church body to come closer to you, Lord God. To come into the garden and to pray, Lord God, to be sober in these last days here and to watch on to prayer and not be overcome with a spirit of fear. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bless your message now, Lord, that you people can get something and that anyone that's listening to this, Lord God, would be encouraged and emboldened to do the best thing that we could possibly do when the end of all things is at hand. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the title, When the End of All Things is at Hand, amen. What's the best thing? What do you do when the end of all things is at hand? And I'm going to lay some groundwork and preach this text here at the very end of it right there. And in a way, you know, there's many verses that talks about the last days and the end being now. But eventually it's got to come down to the end of the end. Amen. To the last of the last days. And we may be beginning to see that type of stuff set up. We're seeing it on the whole world. If it were just America getting locked down or something like that, I think, yeah, you know what? This is God's judgment on America. But we're seeing this thing work its way out worldwide right now. And so what's the best thing that we could possibly do? And before the groundwork, it's a little recap. Pastor's had two messages here as of late that are absolutely outstanding. And anybody listening to this, or I encourage you to go back and listen to those messages again. And I hope everybody in here has gone back and reviewed that, because so rich the messages are, amen, about, you know, pushing through. And praying through, amen. How about that message about increasing our faith, amen? Not just letting things go. And you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a little bit, and I know the way that the flesh is, amen. We'll fizz out real quick. You got to constantly put effort into putting your flesh down, amen. Putting off that old man and putting on that new man, and put that constant effort into walking in the Spirit. And putting off the things of the flesh. Otherwise, man, every time you turn around, this sinful flesh is going to hinder you somehow. And when we're hindered individually, our families suffer for it. When our families suffer for it, the churches suffer for it. When the churches suffer for it, the world suffers for it. Amen? That's the way that things go. So it comes down to an individual basis, amen, of us keeping our flesh in line. And being very aware of what's going on. And so, you know, Pastor talked about praying through, amen. What a great message that was right there. And the Syrophoenician woman, amen, just wouldn't quit. The man, you know, they took him and The Lord passed through, man, and they cut their way through the ceiling and lowered them down there, man. That effort that it went through, that they said, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to get close to the Lord. I'm going to get my prayer answered, amen, and they didn't quit. That's great faith, amen, as we've seen. And then the other side of the coin, you know, what if the times when, you know, we don't need to be in self-pity when sometimes the Lord, no matter what, no matter how much we push through, no matter how much we pray through, no matter how much constant effort that we've put through, the Lord doesn't give us the answer that we want. You know, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes that other side of that faith is going through whatever the Lord has allowed to come your way, like Paul had that thorn, amen? And he prayed with that faith when he was in jail. That he said, "Hey, I trust that I'll come on to you, but as when I see how it will be with me, you know, when I see what the Lord's going to actually do, amen." At the end of this thing, so what I want to do now is just try to lay a little bit of groundwork for this message, and then preach and try to stir us up to apply those things, amen, here in the last days, and to face what's going on in the right spirit, in the right balance, amen, and come close to the Lord. And we could be prepared as whatever we want for whatever is going to go on, and we need to be. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord, amen. And there comes a time, amen, that we're going to need to be able to pray like Elijah prayed. You know, that it rained and it stopped raining. And, you know, those type of things right there. And that's going to be the main thing right there when it comes down to it. Amen. The end of all things is at hand. In a way, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, the last days have been spoken of ever since the church was established. Amen. And so God, who in sundry times, verse 1, in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir over all things, by whom also he made the world. Amen? And so it's spoken of right here in the present tense, right when the church is getting established, hath in these last days. Amen? And that's referring to the fact that God's eternal purposes and God's plan throughout the ages is it's coming down to the end of that. You know, all the examples and the dispensing of revelation, here a prophet, there a prophet, you know what I mean? You know, we have the faith that should afterwards be revealed, amen, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's all coming down to an end right there. But then there's going to be an end also of this age that we're living in. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 also speaks of the last days, right? And there's more of them, but this is just a few. Verse 18, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, Antichrist shall come. And now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Right? Right there, early church, putting it down, present tense, amen. There was the spirit of Antichrist working back then. There's the spirit of Antichrist working here today, amen. They were standing against it back then. We need to stand against it here today. The Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil, amen. So part of following the Lord Jesus Christ is to stand against the works of the devil, amen. And you see the devil starting to set his kingdom up and everything right here. And the best thing that we can do is, hey, you know what? We got to eat. We got to be prepared. Amen. But we got to get to a point, amen, that we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High and come into the garden with the Lord like we're going to see and actually pray and get our prayers through. Amen. Because it's going to come a time, there's going to come a time that, you know, we may have in our life been able to get away with following the Lord afar off. But it's coming down to a point now that, look, you know, I know the hand of God is working in this place, and the Lord has done a great work in here. Amen? But it's coming down to a point now that we cannot any longer allow our flesh and our mind and our weakness of this flesh to hold us down and to keep us. We've got to come closer to the Lord and be able to pray and walk in the Spirit like never before. in the days to come. A little more groundwork, the end of the world also mentioned right here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. It says, "For then must he have been often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So it talks about the end of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, talks about the end of the world. Chapter 10, verse 11. "Now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Amen. So the end of the world right there mentioned right there to the church, unto whom the ends of the world are come. And we're called to be not of the world. Amen. So in Christ Jesus, our conversation, which is in heaven. Amen. Our conversation's in heaven. It's a different world system. So in that aspect of that, in Christ Jesus, amen, we dwell in that, and that's a different world system. The earth is different than the world. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, in Hannah's prayer right there, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, right here. Verse 8, "And he raiseth the poor from the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, and set them among princes, and make them to inherit the throne of glory." Amen? What a thing. "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." Amen? So the world system, amen, that's working, this evil present world right now, amen, it's coming down to an end. Of that world, the end of all things is at hand. Amen. The power that the prince of the power of the air is given in this world right now is going to come to an end. Amen. And that new real new world order. You see, the devil always wants to try to manufacture and imitate. Amen. And cast illusions on and act like he's God. Amen. Appear as an angel of light and all those type of stuff right there. But there's coming a righteous monarchy. There's coming a time, amen. Angels are going to declare the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, amen. And what we got to do is prepare for this time right now at the end of the world, at the last of the last days, amen, to stand stronger than we ever have before, amen. You know what? The Lord's begun a good work in us, and He wants to establish it, and He wants to fulfill and finish that work that He's done in us. And you know, I know for myself right now that I am not walking with the zeal. I am not praying. I am not going the way that I need to be and that I have in the past. And I'm looking to go even further than that. Amen. So I'm preaching to myself more than anybody, but I believe that I'm preaching not only to this church, but all the churches in America right now. It's time to break the sleep spell. Amen. It's time to fight harder than ever. Amen. Against our flesh and put that down and start walking in the Spirit like never before. Amen. And I tell you, man, I'm looking for, oh man, I cannot wait till the Lord comes down and sets all this stuff straight. Amen. And nothing that's coming in this world, nothing that's going to come upon us is taking the Lord by surprise. He is not taking Him by surprise. Amen. And the best thing that we can possibly do when the end of all things is at hand is be sober and watch on to prayer. Amen. You know, 1 Timothy 3:1 talks about a last days, and it prophesies of it, but it's not talking about there necessarily in the early church right there. Just giving a little bit of Bible to back up what I'm saying. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, yet denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It kind of sounds like today, right? And you know what? That I believe is prophesying of what we're going to see. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, it says a little bit later on, shall suffer persecution. And there is a great tendency for having a form of godliness yet denying the power thereof. It tells me that in the last of the last days, when the Lord's getting ready to come back and things are getting really bad, that there's going to be a form of us just going through the motions. But what really, walking in the power of the Spirit and being able to come before the Lord and pray and see stuff happen is going to be lost, right? And so we need to guard ourselves against that. And Matthew chapter 26 now. Matthew chapter 26. So from the Lord's example, what did the Lord do when he said the time was at hand? When he that betrayeth me is at hand. Amen? You know what the Lord did is he went back and he went into the garden and he started praying. And let's take a look at that right there. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray. And he took with him Peter and the sons of Zebedee and began to be very sorrowful and heavy. And he said that my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Amen. When the time was at hand, amen, and when it was coming time, you know what the Lord's fearing right here, I believe. You know, there's never been a time. God said he made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Psalms 22, he says, I'm a worm and no man. How about that? A worm is like the lowest form of a serpent. He had that sin put on him on that cross, and literally somehow, I can't completely understand it. Would to God I could be able to explain it a little bit more, but the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us on the cross, and he knew what was going on. And he began to pray. He went a little bit further. Remember that. And fell on his face and prayed and said, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. But as thou wilt. Amen? That sin was about to be laid on him. He didn't fear any of the Gentiles or the dogs compassing him or the bulls of Bashan or any of that stuff that the Bible says. Amen? He didn't fear anything. He was about his back being plowed. Amen? It talks about his back. They made long the furrows. Amen? As you can look at his... He could look at his bones, he said, and they do stare upon him. They ripped the flesh. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, his visions was marred like as no man. You could not tell he was a man. I tell you what, man, the Lord Jesus Christ went through a lot, but that is not what he was fearing. For the first time ever, sin was going to touch the Savior. He became our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that the finished work of Jesus Christ could be fulfilled, that those that would believe in his finished work could have their sins forgiven, that the righteousness of God could be given unto them, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. That's the only way he could justifying a sinner. Amen? That cup coming on him, man. You know, I want to point out the fact that some were called to come into here and pray with him, and some were told to go ahead and sit there. And it says in verse 39 that he went a little further. And the Lord came into that garden, the first thing he did was go a little bit further. And if by God's grace, amen, we put in the groundwork and putting off our flesh and putting on the new man and walking in the Spirit and humbling ourselves and increasing in faith and praying through like Brother Jerry has been preaching here as of, we put that in there, maybe. maybe the Lord will give us a chance to say, hey, come in here with me. Come to the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Come a little further and watch and pray with me. Amen. But I fear, amen, that we're living in a time that people have given heed to the flesh and have become so lazy and content therewith with taking their ease in Zion that they wouldn't mind, like, thank you, Lord, just you let me just sit here. Now I don't got to worry about it. I could just sit here. I don't got to come in here and face the devil with you. I'd rather just sit down. Amen? But that is not going to suffice in the days to come. And I tell you what, man, I think I will detour to Psalms 91 here for a second, remembering that Brother Joey did touch on this in his messages. And never forget, this psalm, man, we are going to need this. We're going to need this in the days ahead. You know, Satan tried to pervert it and all kinds of stuff like that. But I tell you what, man, you are going to need the days, possibly, that you say, Lord, we got lots of rocks out here in the Ozarks. Lord, could you turn one into some food? We can't find none nowhere. But we're hoping to be able to get through, amen, and to continue to watch and pray with you. Safety's of the Lord, but it starts right here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do not read the rest of that psalm. Do not try to claim the rest of that psalm or pray any of the rest of that psalm if you are not applying that first verse. You got to go a little further. You got to overcome your flesh to where the Lord says, hey, you want to come and watch and pray with me? And then when he does go a little bit further with him, you know what those disciples did over there? We're about to read it. He cometh to them again and findeth them sleeping. And say, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? They didn't go a little bit further with the Lord. They made it to the garden, but then they fell asleep. And I am not giving them a hard time. I don't think I got the faith of Peter. I don't think I got the zeal of the sons of Zebedee. Right? But the Lord put it there for a reason. That we know that even those that he might let in the garden when it comes down to it and he's looking to find faith on the earth are going to be fast asleep in that day. And we're going to need this psalm right here. And we better start applying this first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place, Psalms 91, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We lose our appetite for entertainment. I just don't even want to pick up that phone anymore. Something's drawing me to the secret place. I just want to step aside and fellowship with the Lord a little bit. We begin to lose our appetite a little bit sometimes. The Spirit of the Lord starts stirring us up and say, man, I really got to get... There's a lot of stuff going on, and I need to get some prayers through. I will say unto the Lord that he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my God. In him will I trust. Amen. To those that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. To those that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, and his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The armor of God for those that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. To those that go a little bit further with the Lord. And they're there, and it's not just them having a prayer meeting. It's a little bit different. It seems like the Lord shows up, man. There's sometimes, amen, that it's good, man. We got together and we prayed last night. But there's sometimes, man, that it's like, man, and the Lord showed up. As everybody was praying just a little bit more fervent, it all flowed. Man, there's times, amen, the Lord blesses the message at the pulpit, and then there's times where it's, it almost gets a little fearful. It's like, man, the Lord showed up today. Amen. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. They went a little bit further with the Lord. You know, we could go on. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh on thee. 10,000 at thy right hand. People, wars, and rumors of wars going on, all this type of thing. It just doesn't affect you. To those that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see the reward of the wicked. Wow, Lord, all this stuff going on right here. And I just started watching on the prayer, and now look, I seen that too. But because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, what? Thy habitation. There it is. That's back to that first verse. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou tread. There's the devices of the devil getting destroyed, amen, by those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You ain't going to do it with your Bible knowledge. You ain't going to do it with your great strength. You ain't going to do it with all your different guns and whatever you think you got. Your little army maybe that you raised up. No. Nuh-uh. You know, the Lord, he said, man, he said, I could call 10 legions of angels right now to deliver me if I want to. Amen. He's able to provide. He'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Oh, man, it's right. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Amen. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. There it is. And I will be with him in trouble, and will deliver him and honor him, and with a long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's the kingdom right there. Matthew 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I tell you, man, that's what the Lord's been saying to me. What, could you not? You go through this little battle with this Jezebel, and now you're just all downcast. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Why are you asleep, Matt? Why don't you get back up and pray like you used to? I bet there's some people in here today used to have a zeal for the Lord. Maybe used to pray with some more fervor. But you've gotten a little sleepy for some reason. I'm saying that the time is coming when this is not going to suffice. That I highly encourage you, do the hard work that it's going to take. Oh, you're just getting too super spiritual. Yeah, you're going to think that in the days to come. You got hyperinflation on the rise. You got them trying to mandate COVID-19 pass. What happens if they release a real virus or something? What if a real pandemic goes on right now? Look, we'd be do well to right now start dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Right now, start watching and praying. Right now, in any way possible that we possibly could think that I'm sleepy at all, to start waking up. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. Amen? You cannot be sober enough when the end of all things is at hand. And he went on to them the second time. Oh, my Father, you know, may this cup pass from me, except I drink it. Yet, not thy will, but thine be done. Amen. And he came to them and found them there asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and he left them. And he went again and prayed the third time. He didn't even try to wake them up that time. Then cometh his disciples unto him and say, now they finally go right there. And he's not. Sleep on now. Take your rest. The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed by the hand of sinners. Arise and let us be going. He that betrayeth me is at hand. I hope that you're not one of those that's content to just be sitting there on the outside of the garden. At least try to pray to the Lord and put yourself in a position to where he'd consider letting you in the garden. And if we get in there, let's try to encourage each other. Go a little bit further. not be sleepy. Amen. Watch and pray with the Lord. Watch the definition 18:28, to be awake, to be or continue without sleep, to be attentive, and to look with attention and steadfastness. Watch and see when the man passes. Example, to look with expedition, to keep guard, to act as a sentinel. To be attentive and to be vigilant in preparation for an event or trial. There we go. And a time whose arrival is uncertain. And it quotes Matthew 24. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when your Lord cometh. Amen. Mark chapter 13. Verse 33 and following. Verse 32. But that day and that hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The point is that the Lord wants you to be ready, period. He don't want you to know. Because then everybody would just be like, okay, I got to wake up, 2 weeks before the Lord comes. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house does come, at evening or midnight or crow crocking or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you all, watch. Amen. All these times in the last days, these words watch and be sober, as you begin to look, they're all over. So right here is not in the garden. This is talking about here in the future. But the admonition is, lest him coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. I think we see a strong type here. A very strong type. What the Lord did when the time was at hand. And what we need to do when the time is at hand, and that we could be found asleep, there is this strong sleep spell. And you could explain it as a normality bias. So we're going to begin to look at the word getting sober right here. And that sober is regular calm, not under the influence of passion, and sober judgment. A man with sober sense. Serious, solemn, grave. There's a few more verses on watching. But we've got to get serious, and we've got to seriously pay attention to what's going on and wrap our minds around it, or we ain't never going to get to that point where we're increasing our faith and praying through and getting to the point of what of where we need to be with the Lord, going a little bit further with him for the days to come. You know what? That's exactly what was going on. I'm not giving Peter a hard time, but praise the Lord, it shows it. Right there, he was warned. Hey, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, you're never going to go to that cross, Lord. Leaning on his own understanding, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He comes into the garden with him. He's sleeping. And all of a sudden he wakes up, pulls his sword out, and starts trying to kill. You're standing in the way of God's eternal purposes. Peter, I've been trying to get something through to you here. You need to be watching and you need to be praying and stop leaning on your own understanding. I think there's going to be a lot of people in the days to come that are going to do that same thing. They were too spiritual. They were sleepy. And all of a sudden they're going to wake up and like, oh man, you know what I mean? I got to go grab a gun and kill some people. You can't stop God's prophecies. The best thing that you can do when the end of all things is at hand is be sober and watch unto prayer. Know what the devil's doing. And know what the Lord's doing. Be very very aware of it. Amen. You know, and Peter was, man, you could see fruit, man. He walked on the water. He did all kinds of stuff. But when it come down to it, like, and the time was at hand, he just didn't get it. There was something there blocking him from it. Why didn't he get it? I mean, can you imagine? He got rebuked sharply. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things which are of God, but are of man. He still didn't get it. And he still said, and man, this is Peter, man. He come to him and addressed him as the head of the three. He said, Peter, awake. He didn't even tell John and James. Wake up, he come to Peter. By the way, on a sidetrack, if the Lord's given you in a situation of authority and you allow yourself to sleep, how do you expect the rest of them to ever wake up? The Lord's addressing you, Peter. Amen? I think some pastors, amen, need to wake up. I think some fathers need to wake up. How do you expect you just sit there and watch your family and everybody in the world just grow off right here and just sleeping along? Watch your church members going right here, whatever, just kind of go with the flow, man. Church losing its power, just going through. Why don't you wake up, Peter? Amen? Peter, come on, man. Wake up. Somehow he just didn't get it, man. I think we got a strong type. You need to know what the devil's doing, but yet not be overcome with the spirit of fear. I see what's going on. I believe they're trying to set up the fourth beast kingdom, fourth industrial revolution. Doing a bunch of stuff, going to try to starve us out. But I'm not going to be overcome with the spirit of fear on it. But I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not happening either. It's not going to go away because you just want to have this normality bias and act like, no. The best thing that you could do right now for your family and for the Lord is go a little bit further. The times are coming that you've got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You know what? Elijah, man, was surrounded by the army. As a matter of fact, he was getting so many prayers through. We're going to go to Matthew 10 next. He was getting so many prayers through that they sent an army over there to try to kill him. Elijah. Elijah plowed a 12 yoke of oxen, man. And God's like, yep, Elijah's kind of fizzing out. But I see that man right there, he's plowing 12 yoke of oxen. I think I'll take him, give him a double portion. He was like, oh, what's going on here? He's like, yeah, Elijah's telling your enemies what's going on in your bedchamber. And his servant got worried, and rightly so. It's like, man, an army's surrounding us, you know. And he just got up and he prayed and he said, Lord, I think Elijah was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I think that he was watching on the prayer. And you know what? He was asleep, but he was just at peace. The enemy surrounded me. I'm okay. Use it as an illustration to teach a young man. He said, more are they that are with us than they that are with them. He went out there and prayed and blinded the army and led them over. The Lord provided a way, amen. I believe he will for us also, but we don't want to be one of those ones that he says, yeah, just sit here. Fine, you don't want to be that spiritual. You don't want that. All right, just sit here. I'll find somebody that's willing to go a little further with me. I hope I can encourage any of you, man, in here today, just like what the Lord's been preaching to me, to go a little bit further, to finally, amen, do whatever it is that's hindering and holding back, amen, and fight through that thing and pray through that thing and increase our faith and get ready for what's going to come. Hey, man, You know what? All things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose, right? It's true. Period. Guess what? All the apostles got martyred. It still worked out for the good, didn't it? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen? Those prayers of the saints, amen, that get poured out in the book of Revelation, how about that? Amen? Those tears that are kept in the bottle, it's going to work out for the good. Amen? I think I got the mind of the Lord here, and that he's looking for some prayer warriors for the last days. If you're willing to go a little bit further with the Lord, amen? Fear not him which is able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew chapter 10 right here, he did a special thing and sent them to Israel. He had this pattern where he goes to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But there's some things, you know, right here that weren't fulfilled in this Matthew chapter 10. And I was just going to read that verse 28, but I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit more because we may be seeing some of this stuff here coming up. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How long have I been preaching? Okay. But beware of men, for they will deliver you unto the councils and will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake and for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's what we want. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death. That's a shameful thing. And father, child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Amen? There's some hard things coming, amen? And you need to fortify yourself so that you're not one of them. You don't want to stand before God having been a betrayer of the brethren. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they shall persecute you in this city and flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, right? And the servant as his Lord. John, it says, therefore doth the Father love me. He says, as my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye my love. How did the Father love him? He said, here's a cross. I want you to carry it. Amen? Continue ye in his love. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. For and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the household. And fear not them which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are of more value than sparrows. Whosoever shall confess me before men, of him shall I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, of him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think ye that I am come to send peace on the earth? No, I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it. Amen. Crosses are coming, amen. We're called to carry them, and it is our privilege to do it. Be like Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Continue in his love. So Lord, that cross, that's going to hurt. But I'm willing, not my will, but yours be done. I'm willing to carry it. Amen. You're not going to carry that cross if you don't go a little bit further. You ain't going to carry that cross if you're sleeping in the garden. As a matter of fact, you don't want the Lord to find you asleep when he comes. And we're going to see that in a minute. Ephesians 5, verse 14 through 17. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. We got to be awake and aware and ready. Amen. There's things that we're called to add to our faith. You can see it in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And there's seven of them. Seven things that you add to your faith. In Isaiah chapter 11, there's seven attributes of the Spirit of Christ. I don't think it's any coincidence. And the number 5 and 6 is the fear of the Lord. But the seventh one is quick understanding in the fear of God. That's when it just becomes real, amen? That charity, which is the bond of perfectness, amen? That faith which worketh, that neither circumcision availeth nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh love, it just becomes you've added to your faith so much that those fruits of the Spirit are just working themselves out. But that quick, alive, awake, quick understanding in the fear of God. Amen? That quick understanding in the fear of God. I think that's kind of what Paul's getting at. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, be quickened, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It would be very foolish not to add things to our faith, especially when we see that the time's at hand and we got calamities and all kinds of stuff going on in the world right now. Peter had time to get it right, and so do we. Praise God. I believe that in this verse, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That Peter's reflecting back at the time when he was not sober. He's reflecting back at the time there in the garden when he wasn't serious, he wasn't awake, he didn't get it yet, man. And he's like, now he's able to preach it. He's like, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch on to prayer. I know wherewith I speak. Amen. He was asleep for a little while, got sifted by Satan, got strengthened, and now he's converting his brethren. Amen? Just like the Lord said. Amen? Now he's walking with James and John, and him and John are saying, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Amen? If you don't get serious now, you will be sleeping when the time is at hand. Amen? Watching unto prayer, I'll turn there, I got a little time. Watching unto prayer, Luke chapter 21, connected together with the catching away of God's remnant people, of his faithful people in the last days. Those he that now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Those that stand against the wiles of the devil. Those that get sober, watch unto prayer, and dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and start treading those adders and those serpents underfoot. Amen. It's the first fruits rapture, amen. He's coming not only for the wheat, but also for the tares. And if you're a rotten fruit, you got a surprise for you also. It ain't like Hollywood said. Amen. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of life, and this day come upon you in unawares. You're just eating and drinking and overcharged and just doing whatever, and you just kind of like stuck there and unawares. Just kind of, man, you know, just kind of sleeping in the garden, man. Just kind of sleeping all the time, man. You know, I get myself in church on Sunday, that's about it. I mean, I just sleep all week. For as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. There's a snare coming. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. You want to be standing in that day when you stand before the Lord. Amen. Before his own master, he's able to make him stand, or he's able to make him fall. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be our last scripture we turn to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Where you at, Thessalonians? There you are. That's 2 Thessalonians. There we go. Let's see. Verse 5, you're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So Paul's preaching the same thing right here. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ. What salvation is that?
The kingdom.
Yeah. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us be sober and put on the breastplate. Revelation chapter 3. Be watchful and strengthen those things which remain, which are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou shalt therefore not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. We've got more reason right now to be sober and to watch on the prayer than ever in our life. And if we get it right, we come into the garden, go a little further with the Lord, perhaps our prayers and the works of our hands will be able to strengthen some things which remain, which are ready to die. We've got to get it right. You know why? Because the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch on the prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your message. I thank you, Lord, for preaching it to me. I pray, Lord, that you write it on everybody's heart and help us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, greatly for your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen us with strength in our soul. And help us, Lord, to follow you. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us in that garden and help us to go a little further. That you not find us sleeping when you return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mike?